Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
What if the anxiety you have been carrying your whole life, the overwhelm, the reactivity, the feeling that someone is fundamentally wrong with you, you know, was never actually yours to begin with? What if it was handed to you before you even had words for it? And what if all the therapy, all the books, all the insight and awareness in the world could not be fixed because none of it ever reached the place where it actually lives? Today, we're talking about something that is changing the way we understand anxiety, trauma, and healing. And it's called the silent inheritance. My guest today has lived one of the most remarkable journeys I have ever heard. She started her career as a physician assistant. Then she nearly, lost everything through addiction and a long recovery. Then she went to law school, and then she became a hypnotherapist. And through it all of it, she was doing the one thing that matters the most, figuring out what actually creates change at the root, not just the surface. Tracy is an attorney, a hypnotherapist, and the founder of Walk As Her. And it's a healing movement for women who are ready to stop passing down what was theirs to carry. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stacey.
Now, before we get into it, all the science and everything, I wanted to hear your story because I think it's going to give everything else so much more meaning.
Sure. So my story, kind of as you said, my dark night of the soul, if you will, that's coming through an addiction. And it was one of those things that you feel like, I should have known that that's what this is, but really don't when you're the one going through it. And even though, you're trained medically and you're asked how to screen patients, when it happens to you, it's a little bit different. Denial was amazing. And I just remember listening to other people's stories and then finally understanding, wow, that's what's happening to me. And it's the part that they don't teach you when you go through medical training.
Right.
The personal part, the real part, I guess you will, in the trenches and the AA meetings and all that stuff and listening to other people. And they teach you what a blackout is, but like actually experiencing one and learning it in medical training is two different things. So that was the beginning of my story. And through all of that, going through AA, I just didn't resonate with a lot of the things they were talking about in the meetings. While I resonated with the stories and the experiences of the people, the method itself, there was something about it I just didn't feel like it fit. And I really didn't like the fact that I had to go into a room and say, I am an alcoholic. And it's not that I had a problem admitting that, but I've come to learn in some of the work that I do that an I am statement is a statement of power. And anything that you put after that is like, you should make it something very positive and empowering. So given the term alcoholic and the way we view it, I just didn't feel like those phrases should have been put together. So I also just always felt like I was still wanting to drink. I wasn't drinking, but it was still like a focus of my brain and my mind. And I felt like I was depriving myself of something I really wanted to still be doing, which to me doesn't seem like the cure. It feels like it's just, willpower, right? And so I was really looking for the answer, like, why am I like this? Why do I have this issue? Because not everybody has. A lot of people can go and have a drink and they're not needing 500 more, right? So why do I have this problem? And when I was going through the treatment, I remember that the people that were going through it, they used to put me down for even asking that question. Like, well, you just are and that's it. You need to accept it. You're avoiding acceptance. And that wasn't it for me. So there was a lot I didn't agree with. Fast forward, I came across this Alcohol Lied to Me by Craig Beck is the program that I ended up putting myself through. And that was finally the thing that did it for me, because the way he puts things into perspective and, it really made me understand it better. So there was that. Beyond even that, the hypnosis that I went through, I wanted, I still felt like there was more to my story. And I just kept thinking, there's nothing really in this life that I could pinpoint that went wrong for me. I had a pretty normal childhood. My parents were loving. I mean, I didn't have any of the normal things that people would say. And so for me, it was maybe it's from a past life. And so I really started looking into that. And that was just a very transformative experience for me, past life. And then going into the spirit realm, it was a life between life session that I had.
I love that.
And so that was just so transformative for me in my life that I decided I wanted to do that for others or be able to help others come through that same process. So that's why I decided to do that training.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So for me, even through all of this, then more studying and working with clients and really just looking at things. And, you know, that's where I came up with this silent inheritance term because I started really looking at, you know, family constellations and family patterns and what gets passed down and society and school systems and all of those things that kind of play a role in some of the stuff that we adopt as a belief system within ourselves that we necessarily don't even know why we believe something sometimes.
Right.
So that's sort of where I came up with that terminology.
Now let's define this because I think it's going to shift something for a lot of people listening. Now you talk about the silent inheritance, the idea that anxiety, overwhelm, and emotional reactivity are often inherited nervous system patterns rather than personal failures. So what does that actually mean?
Yeah. So for me, like I said, it's kind of, we grow up in a family system, right? So you're born into this family system and your mother's nervous system is really your first encounter with, you know, anything in this life. And so if mom is carrying a lot of anxiety, you're going to learn that sort of in the womb. You start to really experience that. And while we may not consciously remember it, we could certainly regress back to that when we use hypnosis. You can regress back to childhood. You can regress back to the womb and even beyond. So it's one of those things that I see even in clients, like we may have somebody that has trouble, you know, taking a shower with the water hitting their face. And so, you know, we focus on that. We go into hypnosis and that person maybe has drowned in a past life. I've had clients that have had trouble speaking. They're afraid to have public speaking. You know, they have different issues. And so we regress back and they had their throat slit in a past life or they were strangled or hung. Or, I mean, it's just so many variations of that same thing. And it's pretty interesting. And then, you know, there's contracts that can form and these can be passed down again. It's something that when I've been looking at through family lines, it's like a mother or a grandmother have carried this belief system. And so you are being born into this family, mom starts teaching you from a young age, well, this is how it's done. And so we grow up just saying, okay, well, this is how it's done because this is what we're taught, but we never really question why or if that still serves us or why do I act this way? And it just sort of becomes who I am because it's second nature and we react to things in a certain way.
Yeah.
And we might not even understand why that is. And we think it's normal, but necessarily, maybe not. You know, those things, those patterns can be interrupted and they can be changed. You get to go back to the root cause of where it was formed. And a lot of times we find that beliefs or certain things are formed in a child because it's protecting us from something. And so now as an adult, it may be displaying in a way that's harmful to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, that part of us was formed to protect us from something. And so a lot of times we can go in and give that part, you know, a new job.
Wow. You know, when you explain that, like, I think to myself, like, I think about my own childhood and how my mother was growing up. And then I think about, wow, you know, I had, you know, my mother was a very nervous person with a lot of different conditions. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, mysteriously, I got epilepsy. To this day, they don't know why I got the epilepsy. I had a virus, but they can't find the scar tissue that in the brain that was caused. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they gave me these medications to help control my seizures. But how would I have been, you know, because those epilepsy medications are for seizures. They could be used for depression. They could be used for anxiety, anything to calm the nerves in the brain, you know, they're used for. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, maybe I was meant to have epilepsy. What would I be without that medication? Would I inherited my mother's nervous system? Would I have taken more of my dad's DNA, you know, which I have? Who knows, you know? That is just kind of
it is. And it's, I've spent a greater part of my adult life kind of observing my own mother and realizing that I just didn't want to be like her.
Yeah.
And I mean, no disrespect for my mother, but It's, you know, she was the one that stayed in the marriage because her God told her you can't get divorced. She's the one that stayed in the marriage unhappy for so long because you just don't get divorced. You outlive the person. And I just remember in my own marriage when I realized it was done that, you know, she actually said to me, like, well, you just have to do what I'm doing, outlive him. And I looked at her and I looked at her life situation and I looked at her marriage and I thought, man, I don't want that for myself. I don't want to spend the next 20 or 30 years just trying to outlive somebody and being completely miserable.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, you know, getting divorced. And, you know, my mother now last year ended up finally getting divorced and she's happier. So, it's like she was married for 50 years in a marriage that she hated, resented, didn't want to be in and was just so miserable. And like,
yeah,
look at the life that you've wasted. Just because of a belief system that you refused to look past or give up.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, this is the one thing I think is going to resonate with most people deeply because it's so many people have done the work and still feel stuck. You work with women who have already done therapy. They read the books. They understand their patterns intellectually. And they are still reacting the same way. Why does that insight not create change at the nervous system level?
Because you aren't really going back or getting to the root of the reason. And most of the time, we can't consciously get to that. We can't know what that reason. We might think we know what it is, and we can think about it over and over and over and ruminate on it, right? But ultimately, we really just don't know. And it's amazing, you know, all the clients that I've worked with that have gone through these sessions are just like, wow, like they're just amazed, right? And I always say everybody gets what they need from the session. It's not like I can tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody gets what they need from the session. It's hard to almost explain because you really need to go back to the point of origin, to where this thing started happening so that you can understand it on that level. And then from that place, you can heal it. You can either release it. You can, sometimes people will, like I said, give it a new job. It's not like you're trying to get rid of that part of you. You want to, you know, give it what it needs, essentially. Bring it into the fold. And that part of you is so strong. I mean, it can impact change in your life in such a strong way. Why get rid of something so powerful? Just make it do something, you know, for you. Make it more positive in your life.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. You know, I feel like that's what I've done for myself. I agree.
Yeah.
Like what is the difference between managing a reaction and actually interrupting it at its root?
Yeah. So managing it is kind of just the day-to-day stuff. And you tend to just like your nervous system is going to react before the thought because it's just an instinctive thing. So really getting in there and understanding it on the nervous system level, being able to operate from a place of calm. I mean, there is just something to be said for once you go into these realms, like to spirit, for example, then you connect and you see what it feels like to be that part of you or like to be in that space, what it feels like to be your soul self.
Yeah.
It's something you can't forget. And you just start to like operate from a place of, I always said, it feels like you're operating from like above here. Like that's what it feels like to me. Like you're almost watching the world and the chaos and you realize that there is just so much more to life than all of this like day-to-day stuff that drives us crazy, right? But when you see that perspective and you operate from that perspective, you just have a different sense of calm to you. And I'm not going to say that I don't react to things and that I'm this perfectly zen human being. Cause I mean, like things happen in life, right? But you're able to recover faster. You're able to, you just see things differently. It's the best way I could describe it.
I love that. I love that so much. Now for the listeners out there, if you have ever understood exactly why you react the way you do and still could not stop yourself in the moment, this conversation is going to give you something that understanding alone never could. Now follow this podcast right now. Every week we bring you more conversations that go beneath the surface and give you real tools for real change. And I want to let everybody know that Tracy has her own podcast series and she's part of our community. So you'll find all her material, all her podcasts on our channel and you'll find them, just type her name in and they'll pop up everywhere. Now, you know, I want to let's go somewhere that a lot of people like need to hear, like that narcissistic abuse recovery. You know, you really said something that I think is really important, that recovery often stalls when the body has not been included in the healing. You know, what is actually happening when the nervous system of somebody who has been in a narcissistic relationship, you know, what actually goes on?
So the body reacts almost, you know, it's something that kind of happens without thought, right? So,
yeah.
For example, if you have an ex-husband who is a narcissist and, you know, maybe he's messaging you, your body, you're going to feel that the minute you see that there's a message from him. It's, you don't even know what the message is yet.
Yeah.
But your body reacts in this fear state, right? And all of a sudden the heart's racing. You feel that zing that kind of runs through your body, that anxiety zing. And yeah. So that's, you know, you're reacting to almost an unknown fear because you don't even know what that message might be. And right. It's just, you know, it's like almost like a traumatic response in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. Now, why does cognitive understanding of what happened, like, you know, even really good therapy sometimes lead people still feeling stuck or reactive or like they can't fully move on?
Yeah, well, again, it goes back to you can understand it mentally, but if your body's not online with, you know, what the mental understanding is, there's a disconnect. And I think what I've seen a lot is that we are so, at least our generation was brought up so disconnected from our emotions that we don't even know, like, what our body's going through and what emotion am I feeling right now? Like, I've had to work through a lot of this myself.
Yeah.
Okay. And just really sitting with what am I feeling in my body and retraining my body to understand and feel safe and understand that this is not a threat. For example, for me, I was brought up in a household where it was like, you know, you're not allowed to cry and crying is weakness. You know, we were kind of berated for that, or, you know, what are you crying about? Cry baby, this sort of thing. And so you were kind of demeaned for having any sort of emotion. And so still, even to this day, like if I'm sitting in a movie theater and I'm watching a sad thing come on the screen, it's like my body will lock up. And I have to remind myself that this is okay. I'm human. It's safe to cry. And so really just bringing it back to the body all the time and reminding the body that this is okay to experience.
Definitely.
Unfortunately, depending on how deeply ingrained it is something that, you know, I still experience it, but I can recover from it better now. I don't have to remain locked up and afraid and in fear and in that. But again, that's childhood.
Right. No, it all goes back to the childhood, you know, unless you've had a traumatic event, you know, somewhere along the lines, you know, for the most part, it always goes back to the childhood. Yeah. And I feel like too, like when you were talking, when you push things down and we're told to, like, you know, be tough or suck it up and da 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 da, you know, after a while you become kind of numb. And you don't even know what you're feeling. You're like, you feel like you're on a highway with six lanes and each one has somewhere to turn, but you don't know where to turn. And you're kind of lost because you're like just numb to it all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's one of the bigger things that I work with clients is, you know, trying to allow them to reconnect to the emotions and let those emotions through, because you see it a lot where people are just ashamed to feel. And there's really, you know, nothing to be ashamed of.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest things is that people feel shameful, you know, and there's nothing to feel shameful about. You know, it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to go through things in life and you don't have to feel, you know, you don't have to feel, you know, embarrassed and shameful, because we all go through it in life, you know?
Yep. And anything too is like really allowing the emotion to come through you and process through you. Because again, if you're stuffing those emotions, you're holding those things in the body. And so those things eventually are going to have to come out at some point. And so,
yeah,
that's one of the other bigger things is really just when that emotion comes, let yourself know that it's safe, allow it to just pass, give it its time and let it pass through and then just be done with it.
But I feel like we're like a pot of boiling water. And it's like, you know, how long could you boil that water for before it like starts to go all over the place, you know? And I feel like humans are just like that in a sense, you know?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
What changes when the body is finally included?
So you stop reacting in that way. And so it's really trying to get the body and the mind lined up to connect in that way. so that they're all on board. And really, it's a retraining of the physical symptoms in the body to identify what the emotion is. And again, just allowing all of that to flow through you and be processed through, and not having to feel shame or guilt, or I have to hide this, or this is wrong, or, you know, all of those things that we seem to have been brought up with of, you know, push it down, shove it down, and act normal, and everything needs to be okay on the surface, even if it's not underneath. Yeah. And some of those teachings were, you know, they were the beliefs of the time and society at the time, but they were really not good for us mentally and emotionally.
No, that's why we have all these different mental conditions, is because of that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, and in some of the study work that I've been doing now with joy and finding like that joy was really the source for me of my addiction. So I, through all my self-discovery, it was the feeling that I was seeking in drinking was that I wanted to feel that joy of childhood again, that freedom, that not being in, you know, no stress, no worry, not caring like what you looked like. You were allowed to just have this happiness. And you know, those are things that are missing in the adult. They start to be taken away. I've watched my own kids. This is happening, you know, in and around fifth grade, they start to take the fun stuff out of school. It's time to grow up now. And so like they don't get to do. And it's just, there's been studies on it, like that this leads to anxiety, depression, and addiction in the adult, because we forget that there's joy. We forget to see the magic of life, and we forget.
I agree.
Yeah. And so it's, we really need to consciously try to remember and to look for those things now, because what's so harmful about liking unicorns, for example? I mean, if that makes you happy, if you like the glitter and the sparkle, I mean, what is wrong with any of that?
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. You know, like, let's make this practical for the woman listening right now. So she's done the work. She understands her patterns. She can trace them back to her childhood, her mother, her grandmother, and she's still living them. You know, where does the real change actually happen? And how does hypnotherapy reach what other approaches miss?
So when you go into hypnosis, you can get to, you go back to the point of origin. So you are the child where this belief system formed. You also in that space can see and understand why this happened, why you formed this belief. And we can also take the vantage point of, say, there's another person that was involved, say, mom, for whatever reason, had done something that gave to daughter. So now daughter, from the perspective under hypnosis, can change vantage points and see. From mom's perspective, well, why was mom doing this at the time? And you would be amazed at some of the stuff and the understanding that comes through. And when daughter, who has never been able to forgive mom or understand mom and was mad about this one thing that happened, can understand why mom did it from mom's perspective, it's just so healing. And you can have a dialogue back and forth. And again, it's really just getting to that root thing and understanding why it was formed. And I can't say enough about the work. It's really, it is so healing and transformative. It changed my life. Yeah.
Does it take a while to learn how to get yourself to that relaxed state? Because sometimes there's so much going on, or some people are just very antsy to begin with. You know, does it take many sessions, or it's just pretty much different for everybody, depending on the personality of the person?
It is. It depends how much anxiety you come in with to the session with. I've had people that have said to me, like, because they don't know what to expect. And so I just wanted to, you know, do a short session. I actually created a little recording of a brief part of my regression so that people can listen to it before the session and start to experience it. The more you have experience with the regression piece, the easier it is to go further. So each session that you do, you can, you know, if say you can only get to childhood in the first one, but you come back with this understanding and you see the process now and you understand it. And so then the next time you're a little bit more willing. There's also an issue with mental mind sometimes that comes in. So especially in some of the deeper spaces like past life or spiritual regression, because of our culture here, especially in America, with our belief systems, that mental mind will come in and start chattering and saying, oh my God, this isn't really happening and all these things. And so I personally had a significant problem with my mental mind. So I know how to handle that. I know how to deal with that if it comes up. And we sort of just give mental mind a job to do.
Right.
But the more you do this and you see how it works, the more open you become, and then sort of mental mind doesn't have a choice but to get on board with it and go along with what's happening. But there are spaces that part of you just can't really travel to, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, what can she do right now today to begin her interrupting these patterns at the root rather than just manage them at the surface?
Yeah. I mean, really, my favorite exercise is just the breath work. So really, it's like taking for the count of three or four in, holding for three or four, and then release for eight. It's like a 4-4-8. So it's and what that does is it sort of reminds me of the ocean sound too, which I love. But if you do two or three or four of those in a row, you really can't be almost anxious anymore, because a person that's breathing in that manner,
yeah,
isn't being chased by the lion, so to speak. And so, you know, if you're being chased by the lion, you're breathing and you're running. And so if you're breathing like that, your body has to almost calm down.
Right.
And I think we talked about it before, but I have that emergency reset kit that I was going to give to you,
yes,
to the audience members. So we can, you know, I have three recordings in there. So these are for specific, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's three specific types of events that are going on that you can use that in the moment. If you have it on your phone, you know, run into the bathroom, shut the door and kind of listen to that real quick. They're between 1 and 4 minutes each. So yeah, in the moment, you could use something like that too.
So should people go to your website and contact you for that, or just we'll provide the information?
I'll give you a link for it, because I probably have to come up with it is for sale on my my website,
okay,
but I'll have to give you a coupon code or something. We'll set up a special link.
Thank you. I know my listeners would love that. Thank you. Now, one question I wanted to ask you, you lost nearly everything. You built your entire life and you turned your own unraveling into a movement that is helping thousands of women break cycles that have been running in their families for generations. So what do you want the women listening right now, the one who is exhausted from doing all the right things and still feeling stuck, to know?
I would like her to know that she is extremely powerful and that she is in a position to not only change herself, but to change the past and the future. Truly, you're changing past, present, and future. And that's why my tagline is, it begins and ends with you, because it begins with you. And when you heal yourself, you heal the contracts, you break those familial lines, you heal your past, because your ancestors, you can let go of all that stuff that you've been carrying, passing down the line. And then you're not going to pass it on to your children either. So you're healing the future, because you're going to raise children who, you will be a different parent, because you will see the world differently. And, you know, your children then will not be stuck having to be like, you know, all these things that we put on our children, the stresses of having to do this or get this job or do that thing. But look at them and their individual gifts and what are their strengths,
yeah,
and allowing them to just follow their hearts and be raised. And you see the world differently. You're so much more powerful than you know.
I love that. I love that. Now, from our discussion today, you know, if they, for the listeners out there, what are like two or three takeaways that you would want them to learn from our discussion?
The breathing, the breath work. I do have it's sort of a little bit more woo-woo of a channel, but I do have a YouTube channel too, where I have like some light language stuff on there and music and some meditations that I created. But yeah, so I guess really just the breath work, remembering not to shame yourself, remembering that emotions are normal part of your human existence. And if there is something with one of your parents that you're holding on to, consider just letting that go and see how much lighter you feel.
Yeah. And I've done that in I got to say, you know, so many people, it's very hard to forgive, but you don't have to hear the person say, I'm sorry. You just have to learn how to let go. And wow, how lighter you feel, you know, just holding on to that could just eat you away. And then once you just learn to just let go, forgive, try to maybe, like you said, understand from their perspective, maybe why they did the things they did, instead of just getting so angry at them and like, why did you do that? Why did you say that? How could you do this to me? But just maybe go through their shoes and think about how they were brought up maybe, or how, you know, what they were going through in life. And then, you know, look at it from a different perspective. It's like, kind of understand why they are the way they are. It doesn't mean what they did was right. It just means that I kind of get it, you know, and then just learning, like you said, to let go. And the breathing exercises, I think, are so powerful. I love that you mentioned the breathing exercises, because, wow, what a difference it makes. And then when you talked about the one breathing exercise, that kind of sounds like the ocean waves, you know, that's one thing that always brought me serenity. It's just, even, you know, to this day, it's just the ocean waves are just, you know, and to be able to do breath work that reminds you of that. That's powerful, I think. Real powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, I guess, too, which is kind of hard to believe sometimes, too, but, you know, even the people that you probably hate the most in your life, they are your biggest teachers. They are here. They're put in your life. Most likely, you chose this before you came here, and they are here. There's a lesson in it. And if you could find that lesson, you'll find a little bit of peace with the hardship that you're going through. I've gone through enough in my life that when I look back and see it, I'm like, okay, well, now I can understand that. But I mean, it is hell going through it. But I try to always go back to that, because it helps me get through that time period of intense misery, if you will.
Yeah. 100%. Now, can you tell us about your services and what you provide?
Sure. Yeah. So I provide... mostly my favorite thing to do is spiritual regression. So as you said, it's the person that's done some of the work, has worked on themselves a little bit, and is open to trying to go deeper or dig deeper into the issues. And truly, when someone goes and does a regression into spirit, you can see from that perspective, from a spirit's perspective, like you can get almost any answer. As long as it's something that you're supposed to know, sometimes you get blocked with things that people want to know, and it's just, you'll get the answer. It's not the time right now. But those are my favorite sessions to do. And so I do have some courses that I have. Conditioned to Liberated is my kind of introductory course. I am working on a visibility course. I do believe that's another struggle that I had, was becoming visible and stepping into stuff like this where I'm talking on camera. And I think it's a wound that women carry a lot. That's something I see a lot. And so I am about halfway through putting that together. So that'll be another course. And then again, there's the one-on-one offerings, working with me and doing the deeper work.
I love that. And where can people find you?
So I'm on Walk As Her is on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Those are the two main places that you probably be able to find me. There is a website, but it's still sort of not where I want it to be. So I'm working on that.
All right. That sounds awesome. You know, I just want to, for the listeners out there, I just want them to realize that your anxiety may not be a personal failure. It may be a pattern that you inherited before you ever had the chance to choose differently. And understanding that changes everything. And, you know, Tracy, you spent years finding out the hard way what actually creates change. And today, you know, you gave us the clearest explanation that I have ever heard of why insight is not enough and what to do instead. And I got to thank you so much, you know, for just taking the time out today to share your wisdom with us, because I think everything you said today is so incredibly, you know, has so much value to it. And I think, you know, so many of us go through things in life. And if we just took the time, I think hypnotherapy is so valuable. And if we could take the time to work with someone who has experience in this field, wow, what a change it makes. And people don't realize that, like, the things that, you know, happen to us are stored in our subconscious. And if, you know, and sometimes people could say something and you might get so angry. And all they said was three words that has nothing to do with anything. And the person really irritated or angry or upset. It's like, what I say, what I do, you know? And, you know, by doing something like hypnotherapy, you know, you can get to the root cause of the problem. And I'm so, you know, I hear people talk all the time about the surface, but it's not the surface. It's the root cause. And when, if we take the time and we figure out what that root cause is, what a life changing, you know, how life changing could that be, you know? And it takes time, I tell people, because we live in a society that wants quick fixes now, and it's not quick fixes. Really, everything takes time. But once you go over that hump and you start to heal, wow, what a change, you know? And it's a little painful, you know, because you're really, you're learning about things that you didn't even realize, and you're having to deal with emotions that you didn't even know were there, or you have to face emotions that you didn't really want to face. But you know,
that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Allowing those emotions and to just feel those things. But you'd be surprised how fast, once you get to that and you can see it and you release it, you'd be surprised of how fast some people at least can heal from that.
Definitely.
And it is a process after that. I always tell people, we'll wait a month before listening to the recording because you want to integrate the things that you remember. And then you go back and you listen and there's more layers and more layers that come through.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure.
I love it. I love it. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about this, because this is really an important topic that so many people deal with on a daily basis, and being able to overcome that inner anger and be able to get in touch with our emotions and to release them is so very important. And I just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you, I got to give you kudos too, because you've overcome so much. You've accomplished so much. And, you know, you're just a wonderful person inside and out. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for what you're doing to give back to the world. And I can't wait to see you next time. And I can't wait to see what you have in store for us.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too.